Entering Griffin Hospital in Derby, Connecticut is like going to Nordstrom's for healthcare. The first clue that this isn't a normal healthcare company is the valet who squeegees car windows and knows many patients by name. Walk through the front entrance, and the first thing you notice is piano music, soft and elegant, coming from the baby grand in a niche just beside the front door. The second thing you notice is the smell, fresh flowers and wood. In recent years, Griffin has drawn international attention as not only a great hospital but a great employer, ranking fourth on the Fortune list of best places to work in its seventh year on that list. There are many heroes in the Griffin Hospital story, but two stand out as tribal leaders because their efforts have gone a long way to upgrade the tribal culture. The first is President and CEO Patrick Charmel. Tall, lean, mid-40s, dark hair, soft-spoken, self-effacing, a caring tone in his voice, he seems a cross between a high-tech entrepreneur and a priest. The second hero is Vice President Bill Pawanda, mid-60s, gray, fast-talking, and charming. He is easily moved by the human side of the story. Although Griffin has many lines of communication with the community, Pawanda is the perfect person to carry the flame to the outside world. He was born at Griffin and is a former state senator, former board chair of the local Chamber of Commerce. Today's success is far different from what longtime Griffin employees call the perfect storm of the mid-1980s, when the hospital had the oldest physical plant in the state, falling patient satisfaction and market share, and difficulty recruiting staff and physicians. The community was transforming from a manufacturing town in decline to a bedroom community with an influx of young, educated, mobile residents with higher expectations for their health care. Griffin's board authorized a community perception survey and asked local residents this question: if there is a hospital you'd avoid, please name it. Of those who responded, 32% hand-wrote Griffin. The hospital, it seemed, was doomed and without any resources to stop the death spiral. As we see again and again with tribal leaders, Charmel and Pawanda didn't save the hospital Superman style, swooping in to save the day. Rather, they galvanized the tribe of employees, volunteers, board members, and community leaders whose opinions mattered, and the turnaround was a tribal effort. In a sense, Charmel didn't lead it. He nudged it, and then was led by it. And he humbly credits the entire Griffin team for its success. He told us, "Our success really is a testament to the culture. Looking back, it's clear we never could have accomplished this without engaging our employees and getting them involved in the process. I think that's what distinguishes this approach." The challenge was to involve staff as partners, in the same way that the executives and board members were collaborating. Instead of telling employees the new vision, Charmel, then assistant to the president, and other executives led a series of all-day staff retreats, taking 1/12 of the employees at a time. In the morning, one of the executives would describe the perfect storm. Then they would ask the staff to take the perspective of patients and to answer the question, "What would you want your hospital experience to be?" As Pawanda says, "Lo and behold, they described a scene dramatically different from Griffin and the nation's hospitals. Open visiting, more information about their medical condition, caring staff. And they were the staff. It was an awakening experience for everyone." Almost every one of the 12 groups came up with the same list of what they'd want, and the chatter at the hospital began to turn toward quality, service, respect, and dignity, now the pillars of Griffin's core values. During one part of the new building design process, Charmel suggested that Griffin build a full-scale mock-up of the critical components of the new design in a warehouse. Staff members all made suggestions on small strips of paper, eventually giving hundreds of recommendations to the architects. Pawanda adds, "To this day, people will point to a wall outlet and say, 'It used to be over there,' until I suggested they move it." The level of loyalty to Griffin and Charmel is stunning. So many people want to see the Griffin miracle that the hospital now charges visitors from other hospitals who want to use the Griffin patient-centered care model within their organization. Teams representing almost 600 hospitals have paid to see Griffin for themselves. The United States Secretary of Health and Human Services appointed Charmel to the National Advisory Council for Research and Quality in 2005. Charmel's office features 7 years of Fortune magazine Best Employer covers. Tribal leadership up close. What did Charmel and Pawanda do that was different from what most leaders do? First, they spent most of their efforts building strong relationships between Griffin's tribal members, its employees, volunteers, and patients. Second, instead of telling people what to do, they engineered experiences, such as the retreats, in which staff members would look at the same issues they were dealing with, so that the strategy became everyone's problem. Third, they got out of the way and let people contribute in their own way to the emerging tribal goals. Most important, and hardest to see, they unstuck Griffin's tribal culture and nudged it forward, stage by stage, until people charged after problems with the zeal of converts, not the indifference of hired guns. In a sentence, this is what Charmel and Pawanda did. They built the tribe, and as they did, people recognized them as the leaders. The more Charmel and Pawanda put the tribe first, the more people respected and identified them, giving their efforts more credibility and impact. This is tribal leadership in a nutshell, and this is what you'll be able to do after mastering the principles in this audiobook. Today, when patients come in, they aren't treated as customers, but rather members of the tribe. Doctors build relationships between patients and nurses. Volunteers talk up the quality of the physicians to patients. Administrators bring people together and allow the tribe to decide what's best. Years after the perfect storm passed, Griffin is a hospital with wall-to-wall leaders. Every tribe has a dominant culture, which we can peg on a 1-5 scale, with stage 5 being the most desirable. All things being equal, a 5 culture will always outperform a 4 culture, which will outperform a 3, and so on. People in groups only move one stage at a time, and the actions that advance people from stage 1 to stage 2 are different from those that will advance them from 2 to 3. Since each stage has a unique set of leverage points that will nudge people forward, most of the so-called universal principles from most popular business books will work only in one stage. Try them in another stage and your efforts will fail. If tribes are the most powerful vehicles within companies, cultures are their engines. Charmel and Pawanda inherited a set of overlapping tribes with an engine in need of repair. In tribal leadership language, they had dominant stage 2 cultures. The leaders unstuck people and guided them to a 3. They used a different set of leverage points to bump people to a 4. On its best days, and Griffin has many best days, it operates at a 5. We now turn to the 5 tribal stages in detail. Stage 1. Fortunately, most professionals skip stage 1. Only about 2% of American professionals operate here at any given point, which is the mindset that creates street gangs and people who come to work with shotguns. If people at stage 1 had t-shirts, they would read, "Life sucks." And what comes out of their mouths supports this adage. People at this stage are despairingly hostile, and they band together to get ahead in a violent and unfair world. Stage 2. In 25% of workplace tribes, the dominant culture is stage 2, which is a quantum leap from stage 1. People operating at stage 2 use language centered on "my life sucks." People in this culture stage are passively antagonistic. They cross their arms in judgment, yet never really get interested enough to spark any passion. Their laughter is quietly sarcastic and resigned. The stage two talk is that they've seen it all before and watched it all fail. There is little or no innovation, and almost no sense of urgency, and people never hold one another accountable for anything. During the perfect storm at Griffin, the company had a dominant stage two culture. Most large companies have pockets of stage two, often divisions that don't have an impact on strategy or direction. Stage three. The theme of stage three, the dominant culture in 49% of workplace tribes in the United States, is I'm great, or more fully, I'm great, and you're not. Normally, doctors operate at this level on their best days, as do professors, attorneys, and salespeople. Within the stage three culture, knowledge is power, so people hoard it, from client contacts to gossip about the company. People at stage three have to win, and for them, winning is personal. They'll outwork and outthink their competitors on an individual basis. The mood that results is a collection of lone warriors, wanting help and support, and being continually disappointed that others don't live up to their ambition or skill. Because they have to do the tough work, remembering that others just aren't as savvy, their complaint is that they don't have enough time or competent support. The gravity that holds people at stage three is the addictive hit they get from winning, besting others, being the smartest and the most successful. Stage four. The gulf between I'm great, stage three, and we're great, stage four, is huge, Grand Canyon huge. This level represents 22% of workplace tribal cultures, where the theme of people's communication is we're great. Although Griffin spikes into stage five, it is mostly a stage four company. When two people at the hospital meet in the hallways, they're excited about being with another member of the tribe. Take the tribe away, and the person's sense of self suffers a loss. As we watch, Bill Pawanda is fully himself, and people are fully themselves. No corporate cult here. Everyone seems happy, inspired, and genuine. You see it on people's faces as Charmel works the room, and it's equally true that the room works Charmel. In leading a tribe with a dominant stage four culture, the leader feels pulled by the group. At times, tribal leadership at this stage is effortless. A most impressive characteristic and display of confidence as we toured Griffin was that everybody, staff, volunteers, doctors, made eye contact with us, which is highly unusual in medicine. As we watched a Griffin meeting from a distance, the overall vibe of the room is tribal pride, which is the mood that results from a stage four culture. When groups get to this point, they see themselves as a tribe with a common purpose. They commit to shared core values and hold one another accountable. They will not tolerate behavior we see in the TV show The Office or the personal agenda of stage three. Fully three-quarters of tribes operate below stage four, and those in the zone of tribal leadership haven't stabilized at this level. As a result, they oscillate in and out of I'm great, stage three. The purpose of this audiobook is to build great companies, and this means getting you and your tribe to stage four. Since tribes only move one stage at a time, only those at four can make leaps into the most advanced stage, described next. Stage 5. Stage 4 is the launching pad for Stage 5. When we explain this last stage, which reflects less than 2% of workplace tribal cultures, we see skeptical looks coming back at us. Stage 5's t-shirt would read, "Life is great," and they haven't been doing illicit substances. Their language revolves around infinite potential and how the group is going to make history, not to beat a competitor, but because doing so will make a global impact. This group's mood is innocent wonderment, with people in competition with what's possible, not with another tribe. Teams at Stage 5 have produced miraculous innovations. The team that produced the first Macintosh was at Stage 5, and we've seen this mood at Amgen. This stage is pure leadership, vision, and inspiration. After a short burst of activity, Stage 5 teams recede to Stage 4 to regroup and attend to infrastructure issues before possibly returning to 5. In sports, these bursts win Olympic gold and Super Bowl rings. In business, these explosions of leadership make history. Griffin is a model for the best organizations in the world as its culture oscillates between Stage 4 and Stage 5. Log on to our website for a table that shows the 5 stages of tribal development. Our website is www.triballeadership.net.
Tribal Leadership and this audiobook are copyright 2008 by Dave Logan and John King. This audiobook may be redistributed on a non-commercial basis, provided it is distributed in its entirety, including this copyright notice and all credits. You may not alter, transform, or build upon this work without the express written permission of the copyright holder. All other rights reserved.